And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the phone line with us today is Dr. John Vance. And Pastor Vance, it's great to have you back with us today.
It is my privilege to be with you and with your listeners, Dan.
I had to turn my email off because I heard that thing coming across, so hopefully that'll stop it from interrupting us. I value your insights, Pastor Vance, and our listeners don't know, but these are largely unrehearsed. I'll call you and say, well, what do you want to talk about today? You'll share a couple thoughts, and then we'll just go at it. So again, it's a fireside chat. You mentioned before we opened the mic that you'd like to talk about a particular subject, and maybe you can explain to our listeners what that subject is and maybe get us started with a few thoughts on it.
I was thinking about an event that took place in church Sunday. Marlene and I go to a church. Not all the people are evangelical. It's clear. It's a mixed church at some point, but we live in an area where we do the best we can as far as finding church, and we have good fellowship and a lot of good Christian fellowship.
Mm.
But there are people that are very diverse politically. Obviously, mainly it's conservative, but there are also people who are very, very liberal. And when I say people, I'm not talking about many, but about 15 minutes ago, it hit me before you called. I knew you were going to call. Well, what could we talk about? And I thought, oh, I know, propaganda. And it was kicked off this way. In church Sunday, we have a time where we have prayers of the people, and people give their prayer requests, and the pastor in the pastoral prayer prays for these requests and for our country and for that our churches would prosper, you know, around the country, all churches, not just our own denomination.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God would go forth. That's a feature of every service on Sunday morning worship. And one woman spoke up, kind of elderly, but not really. She was younger than I am, I'll just put it that way. And she raised her hand and she says, I'd like for us to pray for our democracy. And this is a lady who, a few years back, prayed for the children. Of course, it was under Trump's first time, the children that will be put in cages on the border. Well, you can imagine what outlets she listens to.
Yes.
Now, she's a Christian. There's no question. She believes in Jesus. But she also is very subject, it seems to me, in my opinion, to being deceived politically. It seems to me that she's not exercising what is now the new word, common sense, what my granddad used to call horse sense. She's not exercising any basic horse sense. She gets her news out of sources that are clearly off base from time to time. It's almost delusional. As a matter of fact,
yes,
I remember the verse in the scripture where it says, in the last days, God shall give them delusions.
Yes.
And that's why I thought, well, maybe we can talk about propaganda, because it's obvious that people, good people, are subject to being propagandized.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've seen that. I'm sure you've seen that as you conduct your ministry and work and talk with people and listen to people.
Yeah, there's a good deal of it. And sometimes I notice a trend where some of the older folks, without realizing it, get sucked down the hole of a rabbit hole of very progressive thinking. And they think it's just fine. They think it's the truth. And, you know, they're tuned into MSNBC or CNN or one of them, NBC, what have you. And they don't even realize that these are more narrative stations than they are news stations. And the narrative is quite deceptive at times. Today we're talking about the subject of propaganda. You'd say, well, How could that be? We're in the United States of America. We don't have propaganda, but you and I see it different, don't you, Pastor Vance?
Yes, that's why I think people will be listening to Redeemer Broadcasting to get another voice. Anyway, yeah, sure. And some years ago, we had a shift, and it probably started in the 60s. Now,
yes,
I'm older, but there's advantages to being older. And one of them is that you begin to be able to see a broader picture as you get older. And you see things change, and most change is incremental in life. But when you add it all together, it's quite a change over a period of time, say 30 or 40 years.
That's right.
And the news business has changed starting in the 60s very slightly. It just had a viewpoint. Walter Cronkite was very famous, but it was clear where he stood politically in the Vietnam War and so forth. That is quite clear.
Mm-hmm.
But through the years, I've seen a change. And in the maybe in 1990, going into the year 2000, I noticed that the TV programs, particularly cable news, started coming in strongly. News ceased to be news, and it was a viewpoint, an advocacy.
Right,
as a matter
right.
of fact, the New York Times, supposedly the paper of record, now says that modern-day news people have to have a position of advocacy to guide and direct the people. And then we find out, of course, that the last administration was actually using money, much of it from USAID, to buy off newspapers.
Yes.
Like Politico and others. And, of course, we know what they did to Twitter and other outlets of these big tech companies. They bought them off and threatened to sue them if they didn't do the right thing. They wanted to make sure that people were not being led astray from their viewpoints. And, of course, what they did, as we found out, they were truly leading astray, particularly
true.
On the vaccine and a few other things.
Yes.
You know, the vaccine thing it shows you how vulnerable we are to propaganda.
Very much so. I was thinking about that earlier today and yesterday. It amazes me that, you know, very intelligent people, you know, doctors with all this education, and finally they complete all their work and they go out and they're a doctor. Yet they seemed deceived as well. These vaccines, I'm talking about the mRNA, they were not fully tested. And, you know, with all the placebos and everything that normally is done, and there's no recourse.
Well, here's the thing about the vaccine. It's not really a vaccine. They had to change the name of what a vaccine was to include this.
It's very true.
Because it's not a vaccine in the normal sense.
Very true.
So start right there.
I remember talking with one doctor who stood up, and people didn't like him because he was telling the truth. And he said, I took the first one, but the more I got into it, the more I realized that these are toxic. And he used that word. He said, these jabs are toxic. And so he ceased to recommend them to people. I'm fortunate I had a doctor that I didn't get it. And my doctor did not overly pressure me. It's a lady doctor. She wanted to know if I wanted it. I said, no, thank you. And she didn't pressure me. And yet some patients were pressured very much. So I'm thankful for that.
Like I was. I was going to the Cleveland Clinic for some AFib that I had. It's not that big a deal in one sense. But I was pressured that I couldn't get treated and things unless I had the vaccines. I had all three shots.
Yes.
And I wished I had not. And I was propagandized there myself because, you know, this was, quote, follow the science. Well, I've had a rude awakening about trust in authority figures in our day.
Oh, so many of us have. And, you know, this is not an R after the name or D after the name or anything like that. This is just truth, you know. you know, what's true and what isn't.
For our listeners, I would say this: listen to about the vaccine and what direction want to go. Is that number one? They said it wasn't from the lab in Wuhan. It absolutely was.
Yeah.
And notice how they fought against that. Number two, they said everyone needed to be vaccinated, mm-hmm. including children who virtually had no possibility of dying from it. Didn't affect them at all. Just elderly people. And they scared the bejesus out of all of us.
Oh, yeah.
By saying what you didn't do. And then they said you couldn't stay in the military. You couldn't be on a police force. You couldn't work for the government. On and on and on. So I hope that our listeners see the gravity of what propaganda can do.
That's right. And it was so frustrating, Pastor Vance. I know that our betters, quote unquote, we're pushing the remdesivir, or however you say that, jab as being the cure to COVID. And it turns out that's got a lot of dangers related to the heart. And the more safer ones, like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, they said, no, you can't have these. And I remember, Pastor Vance, there was somebody down in southern Maryland, from me, it's down, and that dear person was in the hospital. They had gotten COVID. They asked for the alternate medicine. The idiot doctors, I say that cautiously, said, no, you can't have ivermectin, or you can't have the other. And the guy died. And this is serious stuff. And there was really good work done by a Jewish doctor up here where I live. And he had shown, he had ministered to many people with really good results and cured them. And they didn't listen to him at all. So it was blatant. I felt like we were getting hit beside the head with somebody's narrative.
Most of the people I understand who died were people who were admitted to the hospital and died in the hospital.
Yes.
Now they may have died sometimes from other things, but anyone who had COVID was considered a COVID death. So we don't really know how many died of COVID. But on the other hand, they were given the wrong treatments in the hospital.
Right.
And they said ivermectin was a horse medicine.
That's right.
And you shouldn't use it. Well, penicillin is a horse medicine. There are all kinds of medicines that we give to animals that we also give to human beings, because we're biologically related in the sense that we are creatures of God. And what works on a pig, for instance, will work on a human being. Otherwise, why would we use parts of pig and other animals for a transplant?
Yeah.
So how much we fail for all this.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You know, this is not the first time. There's a fellow by the name, and I did read his book, and it's actually become more famous today than it was back in 1841 when it was published. A man by the name of Charles Mackey wrote a book and was published in 1841. I think he died late in the 19th century, Scotsman. But he wrote a book called Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. And when I look through the chapters here, he's really talking about some business hoaxes that people got on board, elixirs and things like that, or all kinds of things that people got scammed about and so forth. And, of course, the alchemists and the fortune tellers and all of this. So he went through a whole list of these things and showed how people would fall for these things. And it was it's an amazing work. And there's a quote in there that I would like to just share with the crowd. I think it's a marvelous quote. He says, "Men, it has been well said, think in herds. It will be seen that they go mad in herds, while they only recover their senses slowly and one by one." Well, that's what's happened with the COVID vaccine. People are beginning to see the light now. Yale University, thank God, published recently the damage that it's done to people, and that'll unfold. This is going to be the biggest scandal of the early century, our early century here. It'll be another 50 years before we have something like this.
Yeah, another big scam that I've been following, and you probably have too, is how that they claim that carbon dioxide is very dangerous, you know, for our world, and yet it is a gas of life, and we need it, and we're spending millions, if not billions, of dollars, carbon capture and all this stuff, and for what? It's not dangerous, and so it's just going to take time for people to wake up to that bit of propaganda.
I'm glad you mentioned that. There are a lot of physicists and scientists who have rejected the idea that carbon dioxide is the cause of any real problem. It is, in a very minor sense, it could be considered a problem for climate change, but has almost no value at all. And so it makes no difference. And this carbon collecting and spending all this money and all the money that's being spent on climate change, yeah, this will probably be the biggest scam in the 20th century.
It's quite a scam.
It's all. But a fellow by the name of William Happer set me straight on this, and I'll tell you who Will Happer is. Will Happer is a retired Princeton physicist, and he is at the top of the chain when it comes to these matters, and there are a few professors at MIT as well. And they have demonstrated that carbon dioxide is an absolute necessity for life. And it makes things grow.
We could actually use a little bit more.
We breathe out 2 pounds. Yeah, we breathe out 2 pounds of carbon dioxide a day.
Yeah.
And it's good.
Yeah.
It's good for plants. It's good for farming. It's good for everything, you know. And here we made it a poison.
Today we're talking about propaganda with Dr. John Vance. We've covered a little bit on the COVID and now this on carbon dioxide and other things. There's other areas of propaganda. One that I can think of, Pastor Vance, that we were brought up on because, unfortunately, I had to go to the public schools. My parents were in no way interested in teaching me at home, and certainly couldn't afford a private school, so I went to the public school, and it's almost gospel there that evolution is true, that there's no such thing as a creator God who loves us and cares for us and has made us in his image. No, it's just evolution. And talk about taking the wind out of the sails of these kids. I think that's a terrible bunch of propaganda.
Well, it means that life is by chance and not by design. Therefore, there's no purpose. That's the danger of that. And if you listen to this fellow by the name of Dr. Meyer at the Discovery Institute, and I didn't even think this was going to come up. But recently, there has been clear evidence that it's mathematically impossible, almost impossible, that thing could happen by chance.
Right.
It means that something came from nothing. Or did something come from something? Well, the mathematical possibility that there's something behind an intelligent world that has an intelligent mind is mathematically the only possibility.
Yes.
And furthermore, your DNA is a code. It's a message. Walk into a building and you want to try to get out like I did the other day. I was in a nursing home and I looked up and saw a sign that said exit. Well, I knew that somebody with an intelligent mind put that up and I walked toward the exit. I had gotten lost. Well, your DNA does that too. It's a phenomenal, sophisticated a message code.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing you can account for that is a mind.
Yes.
Of course, it's the mind of God who created us in his own image.
Yes, amen to that. Our guest today is Dr. John Vance. He was the former pastor at Westminster Presbyterian Church in Rock Tavern, New York. And that was some time ago now, well over 10 years ago, I believe. And we met you there quite a bit before you left, and it was just a wonderful thing to know you. And I remember in the early days you would sometimes get together with some of the homeschooling families and help them. And boy, what a positive influence you have had. We've got about 4 minutes left to our discussion today. It's so far been about propaganda. What about man's eternal state and the need to be born again of the Spirit of God? We hear a lot of propaganda shying us away from this fact of God that He's made available to us, that we must be born again. Can you talk about that?
Sure can. And I'll tie it in with propaganda. You know, we by nature are easily propagandized because we love darkness rather than light.
Mm.
And the scripture talks about that. If you read Romans 1, it's a passage where I think it's in verse 18 where it says, we also by nature, apart from God's divine work in our heart, we push down the truth, we suppress it.
Mm.
That's why we're easily propagandized.
Yeah.
And then furthermore, it's complicated by the fact that God says that He will send delusions from time to time as a kind of judgment.
No question.
And the way that we wake up is because Jesus Christ is the light, and He shines into the darkness, and we behold our interest in Him, and He quickens our heart and life that we might behold truth.
Yes.
You know, the new birth is opening up your eyes to behold truth. An interest in that one who's the eternal Savior. He is the light of the world, and He came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. There's just simply a plethora of verses in the Bible about Jesus being the light.
Yeah.
And for instance, John 1:5, as I recall, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Those are marvelous verses, and he spoke clearly to the people, I am the light of the world, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Amen.
Those are marvelous verses, and I hope that Christians understand that through the new birth in Christ and through faith in Him, you actually acquire a set of eyes that are quite sophisticated by faith to be able to understand.
Yes.
And it's in Christ. So all knowledge and so forth are fixed in Him. So in order to negotiate this world, to really see it the way, reality the way it is, and to have common sense if you want to know the truth, it really is the advantage of the Christian to know Christ and to follow Him.
Yeah. Amen. Beautiful summary for our discussion today. Our guest has been Dr. John Vance. He now lives in West Virginia, and he joins us here once in a while to have what we call a fireside chat. Pastor Vance, we thank you very much. Pray God's blessing on you and your wife, and keep up the good work down there in West Virginia, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Dear listener, please join us next week at this same time for another edition of A Plain Answer.
Of the deep, oh, the mysteries He holds are His to keep. The Lord is in His holy temple, let all the earth keep silence. The Lord is in His holy temple, let all the earth keep silence. Tip the heavens' water jars, or set up on earth the Lord's dominion? Do you give the horse its flowing mane, or does the hawk fly by your wisdom? Who gives breath to fill a baby's cry? Who stirs the soul to look for light? With that at his eternal word, there is no lie. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence. The Lord. Heart, there is no God whose arm is strong enough against him. He who dwells beyond all time and space and will judge with perfect justice. For I speak too soon what I don't know, these things too wonderful to grasp. It is he who is the first and is the last.
Lord is in his holy temple.
Lord.